Turn to Psalms, and we're turning to Psalm 23 tonight. Psalm 23. I was just thinking about this camp theme about, I guess, going on a journey. If you think about going on a journey, I was thinking about some of the famous journeys in the Bible. There's actually a lot of different journeys that people were sent on. You think about the journey that Abraham was sent on, you know, was a journey, a physical journey from the sort of the land of the Chaldees. You know, I think he went west towards the land of Canaan or whatever, and then told to go elsewhere. And it was a journey of faith, as we read. We can read about the journeys there with, Noah went on a journey, no fixed location or destination necessarily, but he went on a journey. It was a long one of building an ark, and then, you know, then off he went and was rescued. The journey. The adventures of David and all the journeys that he went through and all the ups and downs, and we'll read the psalm tonight about some of that. You can read about the journeys of Paul the Apostle and those guys who, you know, went and preached the gospel and all the exciting stuff that they did. So that, you know, there was journeys there. Also, I guess, the journey of Jesus Christ, you know, from heaven to earth to preach the gospel with signs, miracles and wonders, the journey to death and resurrection, all for us and all the people said. And we're following in those footsteps, if you like. So there's lots. But we see here in this psalm here, this famous psalm, Psalm 23, another journey, okay? This one I want to sort of look at tonight and get you thinking about tonight about how it's our journey with God, okay? Our own personal journey. And back here written, I can't remember how long this ago this would have been, how long ago David lived, but, you know, a long, long time ago, a couple of thousand years ago, okay? 3,000? Yeah, 3,000 years ago, this psalm is brought to us from that time, and it contains this personal journey of one soul and their God. And it's, you know, translated into the English language, it's perhaps one of the most powerful, beautiful, amazing psalms in the history of the English language, apart from maybe Psalm 91. It's powerful. It's amazingly written, and I guess it's, you know, it comes from the original sort of thing. But amazing psalm. But it's also a personal journey. And what's interesting about this Psalm 23, and we all know it very well, okay? It follows on from the previous psalm, which, if you read it, okay, the Psalm 22, it mentions there that the sort of prophetic background of Jesus Christ, the suffering of the Christ, and how they would part his garments and the suffering and all that. And we see here, once the suffering is through, if you like, in the Psalm 22, a journey starts, and a journey of blessing, okay, and provision and care and love and tenderness from God. Okay, so it follows on from there. So we start here in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Now that's a simple, powerful declaration. David is saying here, God, the Lord is my shepherd. And in this day and age, probably back in David's day and age, there's a lot of different shepherds you could follow, not just religious ones. You know, there's a ton of religious ones, all from, you know, the crazy to the traditional. But, you know, there's lots of gurus and lots of people in the media these days that you can follow. You know, you can literally, you know, follow them as a disciple. You can sign up to their courses and follow their programs, or you can just follow them on, you know, maybe social media. But you can devote your life, your affection, your attention to all sorts of gurus in this day and age. And David, this message, this 3,000-year-old message, is saying to us, God is my shepherd. And right away from that opening line, this imagery bursts onto the scene that, okay, there's this shepherd, and David, we are the sheep, okay? And it's not necessarily this imagery here that coming across of God, the judge, and, you know, he's going to pour fire and brimstone on you. It's this other aspect of God, of his love, his care, and his grace towards us. And David goes on there, and he says, I shall not want. Once again, just in that one verse, two powerful statements, he says, David got to a point where he'd gone through all his trials and tribulations, and he realized, I won't want. Because I've made God my shepherd, because I'm following the one God, the true God, the living God, and I've seen him deliver me time and time again, me, my men, my people, my family, my nation, I will not want. There may be things that we don't get that we want in life, but you won't want. God's not going to leave you hanging, okay? You might be praying for things now. You might be looking for things now in this journey with God. And then you go, oh, I really love that, and I want it to work out this way and that way and this way. And the shepherd is gently sort of just tapping you with his the crook or the staff, saying, come on, over here, come on, come on, come on, come on. And all the while, as we'll see, you won't want. He will provide. He will bless. That's the promise. Okay? All the way back into this old psalm, and it applies directly to the saints of God. That's you and I. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Okay, so this shepherd takes on this responsibility. God takes the responsibility on himself to provide good pastures. That's the fellowship that we have here. That's the word of God that he's provided us, the Holy Spirit that he's given us, the teaching and the wisdom. And praise the Lord, when you read this scripture, okay, this old, old scripture, you know, it goes right down to here, camp. Good pasture is right here. It may not look it out there, okay? You know, sand, rain, wind, it's boggy, you know, whatever. But the good pasture is the fact that we're all coming together for a real recharge in the spirit, okay? Not in the flesh, in the spirit, okay? And people do this sort of thing in the flesh. Now they get together in camps or seminars for a real, you know, they boost up and training sessions. Well, this is a spiritual one, okay? And it's green pasture. When you go to your meetings, a Wednesday night, Friday night, it is green pasture. When you open your Bible at home and you start reading the verses, it is green. It is healthy for you. It is not poisonous. It's not full of weeds and rubbish and junk that's going to make you sick. It's good, healthy, spiritual food that God has provided for you. And he makes you to lie down. He's got that imagery there that spiritually, it's rest. You know, and you can only really rest in a situation when you feel peaceful, when you feel protected, okay? And that's what the shepherd provides here. He leads me beside the still waters, okay? He leads us to still waters. We know when we first got filled with the Holy Spirit, when you spoke in tongues, out came the Holy Spirit, you know, that living water that Jesus talked about that would pour forth from you. Absolute amazing miracles, okay? And it's peaceable here. We get this imagery coming through that it's peace, it's contentment, it's life, okay? And we first discovered that when we received the Holy Spirit, and we kept on discovering it, the still waters. Because, you know, we have to go through life and, you know, we've got to work and we've got families and sometimes we're caught up in all sorts of, you know, things in life and just the noise and the rat race. And sometimes we can feel like you're being, you know, led away a little bit from the still waters, the calm, the peace. And once again, you've got to come back. You know, you've got to be reminded of yourself that, hey, I've got green pastures and I've got still waters in my life, and I've got to be reminded of that. You know, the shepherd reminds us, but also one another, the fellowship, our oversight, our families and friends, we remind one another, come back, keep coming back to those still waters and green pastures, because they are life, they are protection for you, they are sustenance for you. Okay, he's not saying here, you know, he leads you beside the, you know, the 4 foot, now, 4 meter waves that yelling up that are going to bowl you over and drown you and, you know, knock you around and all that sort of stuff. That's not what he's saying. It's still waters, clear, crisp, clean. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, he restores my soul. And we know when we got filled with the Holy Spirit, that was the ultimate restoration for us. Before that, we were broken. Before that, you had no idea where you were going. Okay, some of us may have thought, well, I'm not going anywhere, I'm going to hell sort of thing. Some of us may have had a bit of an inkling, but he restores our soul. He binds up, he heals, okay? And we see he's a great healer, okay? It's restoration. So whatever you've, even as you walk on in the Lord, it's not just the moment you got filled with the Holy Spirit. If you feel like there is something in your life that perhaps is run down, and because we do get run down physically. Everything in this life gets run down. Okay, and God is in that spiritual restoration business. I remember, you know, years ago, before the America's Cup came to Fremantle, and a few of us would probably remember this. You know, Fremantle was a hole. It was horrible. I remember even as a young kid, you go through that cappuccino strip, and it was manky, and yeah, you know, America's Cup came along. And it was interesting because, you know, money poured into that little port city, and people started restoring the old Federation houses. Who remembers that? Yeah, and the Federation buildings around the place. And eventually down the road, we had, you know, like Notre Dame University taking over a lot of the buildings and stuff like that and being maintained. And the city just changed overnight. It was amazing. Values went through the roof. People started seeing, you know, value in restoring these old buildings. And they put lots of work into them. But they looked really great. It's amazing. And God does the same for us. You know, he takes that which is weak, perhaps lame, that's not working, and he helps restore it. You can go to him and say, God, help me. Help me put this back together. Or help me, you know, make this work. I don't know how this is going to work in my life. You know, we heard tonight about a job blessing. I'm not quite sure how this is going to work. Help me, you know, put it together. You know what it's like when you have your kids, you know, or little kids that you work with, you know, you maybe get the Lego set out or a toy or something and they break it and you think, well, some of them you can put back together again. You know, well, yeah, help me, we'll put it like this. We'll fix it like this. No, this is how it goes. And they go, no, I want to do it. You know, and they break it again. They think, well, you should have just listened. You know, I've had that plenty of times. You know, things like that. And God says, no, let's be patient. I'll restore things for you. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, he says, for his name's sake. Okay, the paths of righteousness. The paths of righteousness lead to eternal life. And all the people said, that's the path. That's the journey. The meat of it here is you're on the path of righteousness. You're on the journey of righteousness. God's put you on that straight and narrow Jesus talked about, okay, that a very, very few find it. And in that sense, we are extremely privileged. Now, you can kind of just go, oh, we're lucky. Oh, lucky, you know, it rolls off the tongue. But it's not. It's part of his plan. We're predestined. We've been chosen. God sought us out. You know, he went to a lot of trouble to send his son to actually, you know, plough that road. That road hadn't been ploughed before, okay? He hadn't made that way possible. It was shut, okay? And there was no way to get through. The Son of God had to make that way possible. And now we can go on that path. And God can lead us in that path for his name's sake, okay? His renown, his blessing, his power, praise the Lord. Goes on verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And this is, another famous verse here. He says, yea, though I walk, you know, we have to walk through the valleys sometimes, don't you? You know, you've got one hill on one side, another hill, and then you go into the valley. You know, whatever the situation is you're going through life, it might be a job situation. And the valley can be quite dark, and it's the shadow of death is there. You know, it's not necessarily... Death is not necessarily in your path anymore. Yes, physically we die, but you know, God's taken that sort of fear away, but it's the shadow. The shadow's being cast. You know, there's the on us, you know. And yes, with shadows, traditionally, as you're growing up and in, you know, fiction and the media and the movies, you know, shadows, it's dark. It's, you know, a little bit maybe scary, you know, what it's like at night. And when you're growing up as a kid, you know, it's the shadow of death hung over us for a very long time. And even though we're still walking through, we go through the valley, as I said, you might need to go through, you know, the valley of the shadow of death with work or whatever it may be, whatever your pit you have to sort of walk through in this life, okay? He says there, I will fear no evil. Nothing can touch you spiritually, okay? You might get knocked around. It might get a bit dark at times, but God's light will always shine eventually. Okay? If we look to him, if we stay on that path of righteousness, that we read about just earlier. And he said, look, even though I have to go through that, I have to go through those valleys, he says, I'm not going to fear. Okay? And David, you know, came through this through a lot of trial and tribulation. You know, he had to go through a lot of battles, a lot of people hunting him and trying to kill him and his family to deliver these verses. Okay? And we sometimes go through a lot of trials and tribulations to deliver what? Really, really great testimonies, because this is what God did. You know, I was down or this, that, or this wasn't working for me. I was sick and God came through and it delivers a wonderful blessing. And all the people said, amen. Okay, we'll keep on going. He says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So God is with you wherever you go in your path, in your journey. You'll never be alone again. But he says here, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Now, if you think about a rod and a staff, you know, they can be used as a weapon, can't they? You know, martial artists use them all this time. A staff weapon is something that is common throughout many, many cultures through history. It's just a piece of wood or a piece of metal. Okay, but here, David is saying, they comfort me. It's that gentle guidance of a shepherd. Okay, he's not coming along going, "Ah, you stupid sheep," and, you know, hitting you over the head. It's not how he works. He's patient with you. He leads you, he guides you. He might give you a bit of a tap here with his rod, but it's a comfort that God does love you enough that he takes an interest in your life. He cares what happens to you. Okay? He does take an interest. He does want to see you blessed. He does want to see you, you know, learn and grow. Sometimes when we go through trials and tribulations, you know, we might get a little bit crusty. You have experience. You get a bit crusty, you think, "Oh, that's not going to happen. It's been so long. You know, why is the Lord God taking his time? Why is this happening? I've heard that gift before. Those scriptures, you know, you can get a bit like that, a little bit crusty." And the staff and the rod there, they sort of, you know, break away. Those sort of barnacle, that crust, and sort of breaks through and says, "Okay, come on, keep going. This way, that way." You know, he's gently guiding the sheep to the blessing. Praise the Lord. Verse 5. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." So God, as the shepherd, he goes to all this trouble. He's a king of kings and lord of lords, and yet he goes to all this trouble to prepare a table, okay? The table, you know, here, when David is talking, he's a king. He would have had a table prepared for him every day. Servants, you know, people coming, dignitaries coming at his table to eat from his table. And, you know, food left, right, and center. And when he wrote this, you know, you think, well, David understands what this is all about, you know, having a table prepared for you. And he's saying, that's what God does for his people. You know, God goes to all this trouble to prepare a table for you. A table, once again, with all this good stuff, which goes back to that, you know, that verse, you know, two about, you know, green pastures and still waters, all the good stuff in the table, before the table. But he also says there, in the presence of mine enemies. So around about you, you might have people that it might be against you. You might have hassles at work, or you might have, you know, family members that don't like you or don't like the gospel. You know, the neighbors that might persecute you, because persecution is, you know, it's part of the Christian walk. He says, God still prepares a feast for you, even though you might be surrounded by enemies, by people that don't like you. God's still going to provide. And it's almost like, you know, here, look at what I'm giving my servants. All this blessed food, this spiritual sustenance, a table full of all the wonders that you can think of. And people can see that. They may not acknowledge it, but they can see the joy that comes through you, the peace that comes through you, the contentment that comes through you, you know, that your great attitude towards life and your great work ethic and your the way you treat other people. They can see that, these people round about, maybe perhaps some of them are enemies, they can see that, because that's coming from God's table. All good stuff, all blessings from God's table. And all the people said, in the presence of your enemies, "You anoint my head with oil." Okay, and we know in the Old Testament, particularly, and with Israel and the Jews, this was an important thing. When somebody came to your house, you know, you offered, if you were able to, you know, anoint them with oil, sort of thing, sort of clean their head. I don't quite get it, to be honest with you. You know, coming from a wog background, oily hair, it's like, oh man, you know, even more oil. It's like, you've got to be kidding, you know. But we know the spiritual meaning here. You anoint my head with oil. You know, it's the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's something special and precious, especially when you read about the oil, the concoction, if you like, that was prepared in the Old Testament for the temple. Okay. You know, nobody else was allowed to make that. You couldn't just go, "Ooh, I like that. That stuff that they've got burning in the temple, they've got that. I'm going to make some of that." God said, "No, you can't." Okay? It's only for my worship. Very special. And that's the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. He goes, "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over." Your cup runs over. Okay? Once again, it's blessing is what he's talking about here. His sheep, his people, his saints. The cup that you have of your life, he says, it'll be running over, okay? But sometimes it's up to us to see it, to acknowledge it, okay? God will cause your cup to run over, but sometimes you've got to go, okay,
You know, because as I said before, you may not get everything that you want in life, but you've got to go sit back and go, count your blessing and look at what God's done for you, and you'll see, wow, you know, my cup is full and it is overflowing. And all the people said, praise the Lord. And David realized that as well. Praise the Lord. Okay, how are we going there? Time's up. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Okay, and that's another great promise. And as I said, you know, as this psalm follows from Psalm 22, about, you know, if you think about how the Savior, you know, died and what he had to go through to bring these blessings, as you go through life, he's saying, because you've made the Lord your shepherd, because you are following him in this journey, because that you are, you know, being faithful to him, he says, goodness and mercy, God's mercy will follow you, what does he say, all the days of my life. And you think about David and how he messed up. You know, he truly understood this message. He truly understood the grace of God. You know, it's not a license for us to go and do bad because, you know, I can be forgiven sort of thing. You know, Paul the Apostle talked about that stuff. That's not the right attitude. It's realizing that, wow, you know, God's mercy is never ending. He's gracious and his goodness is there all the time. Okay, and he goes on there and he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Okay, when we got filled with the Holy Spirit, God put us in his house. It may not look like it, but we are in his fellowship. Okay, and he says, I'll dwell there forevermore. At the moment, we have to go through this journey. It talks about in Hebrews how we're, you know, seeking another city, another country, if you like. We're journeying through this land. This land is only temporary. We're only visitors. We're only passing through. You're just a tourist in this place. You know, you're just on the tourist bus sort of thing, and you're passing through. And God doesn't want us to stop here; he wants us to keep on going, okay? Because living in the house of the Lord forever, okay, is the goal, is the end of that journey, if you like. Because one day God's coming back, and he's coming back for these sheep that he's talked about here. And when he does come back, you know, whatever you've gone through in life, the ups and downs and all that sort of stuff, that'll be wiped away, wiped aside, and we'll be living with him forevermore. And all the people said, we'll leave it there.